You're listening to the Archaeology Podcast Network.
All right, welcome to Heritage Voices, episode 19.1. Both Lyle and I will be your host for today's bonus episode on what we've been up to lately. So before we begin, I would like to take a moment to honor and acknowledge the Nooch or Ute peoples on whose treaty lands I'm recording today, as well as the many, many other tribes that have been connected to this area through time, including Hopi, who Lyle is recording on Hopi land today. So also honoring and acknowledging the Hopi people. So, Lyle, it's been 2 years, I think, since we first started talking about this idea. I think it was about July when I first reached out to you about this. How's life been for the past 2 years?
Yeah, well, it's been a lot of different things going on, you know, still doing some archaeology here and there, also doing some of the river guiding work and other, you know, kind of field-based work up in southeastern Utah. But yeah, it's been going okay, and I've been trying to stay busy and try and find some time for some interviews, you know, for the podcast during all that other stuff going on, and been able to at least conduct one really good interview with some Hopi ladies from here at Hopi, Susan Sikokoptiwa and Marissa Novaistiwa, who are spearheading a local movement here at Hopi to have our own quote-unquote Hopi museum. It's more of a learning center idea, I guess you could say, not so much for tourism, but they're working on getting the infrastructure and, of course, all the funding and other resources to make that happen. So that was a really good, interesting interview, learning the insights of what it takes to generate momentum to get an idea like a nonprofit grassroots museum established. And so if you haven't checked it out, I highly encourage you to listen to that podcast.
And that is episode 10.
Cool. So episode 10.
If you haven't listened yet, episode 10. And then Lyle also headed up episode 15, which was the Bears Ears episode.
Yeah, that was another fun, really informative, you know, panel discussion of myself, Ed Kabodi, who's Tewa and Hopi, Angelo Baca, who is Hopi and Navajo, Regina, I hope I get this right, Lopez, White Skunk. I may have reversed that. Sorry, Regina. She's from the U.S. But yeah, we had a great discussion, the four of us representing different perspectives on what the Bears Ears area means. And so, you know, there was discussion, not so much about the monument itself, but it was more about how this issue of the Bears Ears fits within a larger context of indigenous issues happening throughout the world, I guess you could say. So, but it was a really good localized discussion of this Bears Ears issue that's ongoing right now. And so, yeah, again, if you haven't heard it, I recommend that one as well as all the other podcasts. But that's what I've been up to in terms of getting some airtime, and hopefully we'll be getting some more folks lined up for some interview work here out at Hopi and elsewhere. So, you know, folks are interested in sitting down and talking about your project, your work, your community, and how you're helping, you know, to address heritage preservation, cultural preservation, however you want to term it. The longevity of our indigenous cultures is something that needs to be talked about, you know, amongst all of us. And so anybody who's interested in sitting down and talking about that, give us a call, drop us a line. We'd be happy to provide a forum to have you come online and talk about, you know, what you're doing in your community. So really, that's what I've been up to. You know, been a lot of outdoor field work. That's been really cool to see different areas of my ancestral landscapes and where some of my ancestors were roaming, you know, 1,000, 2,000 years ago. So I've been really fortunate to be able to continue to increase my understanding, you know, of cultural and ancestral ties throughout the Southwest. So hopefully we can talk a little bit about that with other Indigenous folks, those cultural resource issues, and we can go from there. So it's been fun.
Yeah, absolutely. And you, yeah, you, I mean, you've been all over the place. Like you're doing, you've been doing some really fun stuff with Crow Canyon and then going on all these river trips down the San Juan. And I mean, yeah, I don't know how you do it. You're gone like all the time. But how is the San Juan these days? Was it pretty low this year?
Yeah, there wasn't a whole lot of, I mean, there was a spring runoff, you know, but it was pretty short-lived. It didn't reach, the river didn't reach the levels in past years, you know, 5,000 CFS and above. There were a couple of good spikes in there, but, you know, it's still runnable. It's still runnable right now, even though it's really, it's low. It's probably around 500 CFS right now, somewhere maybe a little bit higher. But, you know, you can still go out there and get on the water and, you know, get to places that you want to go see. So, but overall, I mean, yeah, it was a decent spring and summer season. Hopefully with the monsoons kicking in, some of that water levels will rise and start to, we kind of went on a hiatus there this month just because it's super hot and the water levels are low. So it's really not conducive for large commercial trips, but hopefully those will be up and running again and we'll be back taking folks out again another few weeks or so.
Have you guys been getting the monsoons out at Hopi?
They just started like, man, a couple days ago, you know, really it like over the weekend is when we got our first good downpour here at my house on Third Mesa. So yeah, it's been cloudy. It's cloudy now. The rain's kind of hit and miss wherever they're going, but it's a lot better, you know, than it was a couple weeks ago when we were pretty hot out this way. Temperatures are pretty high, and it's been really dry, and it's still dry. It's going to take a lot for any of this moisture, you know, to really, it's great to have it, but we need a lot of it over a long extended period, you know, to make it really bring back some of the vegetation and, you know, because you can tell that the trees out here are getting stressed. A lot of plants are they had a very short blooming season, I think, as most people probably recognized out there. So, yeah, it's good to have the rains. Those guys, there's a lot of us didn't plant this year just because it was too dry. So those guys that did plant, hopefully, you know, whatever they had come up, hopefully this helps them out and they don't have a total loss, you know, so.
Yeah,
we'll see what happens. It started a little bit earlier this year, maybe about a couple weeks. It's good. We'll take it.
Yeah, seriously, it was. Everybody up here was so excited when it started raining. It was like nobody's wearing rain jackets or anything. Everybody's just all excited and running around in it, loving it.
Yeah.
So yeah, these past 2 years. Let's see. God, it's been a lot has happened over the past 2 years. It's hard to sum it up. Yeah, things, just working on things. And one of the things that we talked about in one of our very first episode is something that we were wanting to talk about today, which was we had talked in the very first episode, I think, or it was either the very first or that first one with you, which is number two. So it's either episode zero or episode two, where we talked about maybe starting a nonprofit. And in the past 2 years, we have done that. So we wanted to give everybody that's listening a little bit of an idea of what we're up to there and kind of the idea behind it and what we're hoping to accomplish. First of all, I guess I should announce the name, which is Living Heritage Research Council. And we basically wanted to, most of the work that we've been doing has been work that has been initiated by federal agencies. And we just really wanted an opportunity and a forum, the platform, I guess, to try and pursue more of what our tribal partners would like to see. So that is really our goal with this nonprofit. And the nonprofit is, so it's myself and Lyle, and then Dr. Kathleen Van Vlock, who is on the episode before this, so episode 19, and then Sean O'Mara and Sean Kelly, who are also both ethnographers, like Dr. Van Vlock and I. And then our board is made up of Dr. Nieva Cedeno and Dr. Sean Gant and Sally Crum. So Dr. Gant is the director of education at Crow Canyon, and he was actually on this podcast too. His episode is episode 13. So he's the chairman of the board. And then Dr. Nieva Cedeno from the University of Arizona, from the Bureau of Applied Research and Anthropology, she is the treasurer, and she mostly works with the Blackfeet and other Plains communities. And then Sally Crum is she's retired Forest Service. I believe she worked for BLM, Park Service, the Navajo Nation, and then in the private sector as well. And then she also wrote the book People of the Red Earth, American Indians of Colorado, I believe is the title. So that's our group of people so far. But obviously, just like with these episodes, you know, we'd love to have more Indigenous partners moving forward. That's something that we're really going to want to try and focus on, is having more Indigenous partners and more Indigenous people in the leadership. And also we want to do, you know, ethnographic research that communities would like to see, and, you know, technical assistance where we can, like if people, communities want help with different types of projects, like, you know, NEPA, NHPA type stuff, and then outreach, education, and historic preservation. I think that's the main stuff. Did you have anything that you remembered that I forgot or that you wanted to add to that?
No, I think that covers it pretty well.
So some of the different types of things we've talked about is like maybe doing more like youth elder programs or like mapping projects or different, I don't know, I guess just more that the communities want. Is there anything in particular that you're like, man, I hope we get to do this someday?
It's all interesting. You know, I think the really interesting or plus side of it is just getting to work with varying groups that have different perspectives on, you know, one issue, you know, just as an example. So I think that's kind of the driving factor is really enabling or helping to help these communities figure out what they want to do for themselves, and then, you know, pulling together the resources, whatever it may be, if it's technical in terms of writing or research or anything else, you know, like that, enabling those communities to achieve, you know, the goals that they set for themselves. So I really look at this nonprofit as really as a resource, you know, in the sense that there's a lot of skills and knowledge that are needed, you know, to navigate some of the federal or any kind of business or kind of organizational, you know, pursuit. So I think the group itself has a lot of good experience to offer that. I don't think we're trying to reinvent the wheel with anything. There's a lot of good methods already out there that, you know, some of us are trained in and have used in other places. And so I think that's, you know, we're really relying on each other as a group to contribute our individual skills to, you know, the various types of projects or work that could be involved. And so I think, you know, these types of community-based projects, you know, they're not going to go away. The funding and the technical resources may be kind of what, you know, is going to become harder and harder to come by. And so I think it's incumbent upon us, you know, one of our missions is to help, you know, enable these folks, individuals, communities, to take on that work themselves and be able to continue that work down the line. You know, it's more about giving them those life long-term skills that are necessary, you know, in order to sustain projects, you know, on a yearly basis. And so that takes a whole lot of, you know, training and just actually doing the work yourself. And so hopefully through these collaborative efforts, you know, we walk away achieving a project goal, but also walking away knowing that that community is trained and able to sustain that type of project work, you know, because inevitably, and this is not just for Native communities, but it's really felt on Native communities when, you know, federal funding does start to go away, does start to dry up, and you are reliant on grants and other, you know, kind of competitive-based funding to continue your individual programs. You know, those types of skills are necessary to be able to at least give you the opportunity to pursue funding and other technical resources for your project. And so hopefully that's what we can achieve with this nonprofit, is that those folks, you know, have a long-term goal with some long-term tools, you know, to use going down the line, and hopefully they can continue to pass those on within their own communities.
Yeah, absolutely. Like the whole idea of almost like making ourselves defunct, but like sadly, you know, this world will, you know, there'll always be more communities that we can do this in. But, you know, yeah, ultimately that would be the goal, is like to really provide the training so that the community can like pursue the projects on their own, and they don't have to necessarily reach out to outside people if they don't want to. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love that aspect of it too. That's definitely something that we've talked about a lot. What else was I going to say? There was something off of that. Oh yeah, I loved what you were saying about the team that we have gathered, because you're right, we really do have kind of this really like well-rounded, I feel like, group of experiences and skills, because we have like, you know, Sally Crum, and then you and I have all worked for federal agencies, me definitely being the least out of the three of us. But, you know, Sally alone covers a wide range of federal agencies in her experience. And then Dr. Van Vlack and Dr. Zedeno and Dr. Gant all have, you know, really solid experience in academia. And then, you know, you and I and the Seans, well, two of the three Seans, we have three Seans in the nonprofit, but Sean O'Mara and Sean Kelly both, and the two of us have quite a bit of private sector experience too. So it's kind of, it's well rounded in that way. And then, you know, like we talked about in the last episode, you and Kathleen both have a huge amount of experience with publishing and public outreach, education, stuff like that. I mean, I have a good amount with environmental education and things like that too. And then like Sean O'Mara, he's amazing when it comes to ethnobotany. He's a trained arborist. He really knows his stuff. And then, you know, like Sean Kelly just has this depth of experience with such a wide range of tribes. And then Dr. Gant, one thing that I really love about him is that he has that very community-based focus. So he did, if you haven't listened to the episode with him, which again, I think was episode 10. Well, let me double check that. It was episode 13. Good thing I did. So he is of Choctaw descent, and he did his dissertation as a community-based project looking at cultural preservation and Choctaw lifeways. And he and I actually also, mm-hmm. by the time this is recorded, we will also have done that webinar for the American Cultural Resources Association, or ACRA. And I believe that they are going to be on the basics of ethnography. And I believe they're going to be making that available so like people can, like, as one of their on-demand webinars too, just a side note. So yeah, so I really love the like variety of experience in the team. And then obviously, like I said, I'd love to continue to add more members and more, that are Indigenous and have and can bring that experience from their communities as well. So one of the things that, we're really just getting started with this nonprofit. We have our 501c3 through the IRS. That was pretty exciting. And then we also were recently accepted into the Colorado Plateau CESU, or Cooperative Ecosystem Study Unit. So that was also very exciting, although it's still kind of a work in progress, waiting on signatures, I believe. Kind of an exciting milestone for us. And Lyle has actually been working on our logo, which I believe is still a work in progress right now, because it's, you know, the beginning of July right now. But for those of you guys listening, you won't be hearing this till the end of July. But by the time this airs, we'll be able to put it in the show notes. Do you want to talk about some, like, maybe not giving away too much, but some of what you're coming up with over there?
Well, I think, you know, one of the discussions we had recently about the logo itself is, you know, it needs to have some representation of, the group's mission, you know, what our philosophy is, more or less, and how do you incorporate that? Or how do you translate that into a visual, you know, image that kind of those beliefs and mission goals and whatnot. So it's been, you know, kind of a bit of trial and error coming up with some designs and presenting them to the group. So yeah, I think, you know, we're going to try and have the logo be representative of the areas that we have worked in geographically, kind of with a focus on the Colorado Plateau, trying to encompass some of the landscapes that are found, you know, within the Colorado Plateau, but also perhaps some of the Indigenous folks, of course, and how does that get represented, and how does my own Pueblo bias in design get watered down so that, you know, I don't always rely on that kind of, you know, fallback in design work. Yeah, we got some good ideas, I think, from the group now, and so I'll be spending the next week refining it and getting that done, and I have a good idea of where it's headed, and I think it'll look cool on a t-shirt, you know, as a sticker, you know, just something. You can't have too many cool t-shirts, you know, that have awesome designs on there, so I encourage you all, you know, once it comes out, you know, it's a small, you know, donation to help an organization get going and do some work, you know, hopefully that has some good for folks out there. So yeah, we'll see how it comes out here in about a week or so.
Yeah, well, if it's anything like the drafts, it's going to be amazing, first of all. So Lyle and Jason Nez actually collaborated on our logo. So if you like our logo, you're going to like this logo too. And yeah, we're going to have, so we'll have the link at the end of this episode, because I don't have it right now because we're still in the process of setting it up. But at the end of this episode, there will be a link to where you can go if you want to just see the logo and see what Lyle came up with, and yeah, hopefully buy a shirt maybe. And then we're also hoping to have some more swag based on the logo at the Pecos conference. For anyone who's planning on going to that in person, we're going to have a booth there as well, and we'd love to say hi. So come over if you're there and get a, you know, shirt, or I think we're going to have maybe some other fun swag that you can't get off the Custom Ink page, but maybe depending on how that goes at Pecos, maybe we'll be able to open that up to everybody else as well. Also, we're going to have a raffle. So basically we're going to, off of our website, which again, that link will be at the end and also in the show notes. Both of those will be in the show notes. So we're going to have, if you donate $10 to our website, then you'll be entered to win in this raffle. And Lyle is going to have some jewelry in there. And then there's also going to be So Sean Kelly, one of the ethnographers in the nonprofit, he's donating a picture. And then my dad, so he's Photography by Neil Savage is what is his, I think, Instagram, Facebook, I don't know, is he's also going to be donating a picture. Yeah, so if you donate $10 on our website, you'll be entered to win one of those, which I want the jewelry because it's always gorgeous. Lyle does a gorgeous job. I don't know if you've seen any pictures of his stuff, but definitely worth entering. So yeah, so there's going to be those two, the shirts and custom ink, the raffle. We're going to be at Pecos. But then also, like, if you're just interested in hearing about what we're going to be up to and things like that, you can like our Facebook page. So Living Heritage Research Council, or if you go to the website, there's also a link to sign up for the newsletter. So that we'll be sending out updates on what we're up to and any cool projects we're doing and things like that. So yeah, we would really appreciate your support in any of those ways. It would definitely help us get this going and hopefully help us be able to do some work that Hopi and other tribes in the Southwest and even further are interested in doing that we don't necessarily normally get the chance to work on. So yeah, please consider donating. Lyle, I'm trying to think if there's anything else that we have going on or that we want to talk about.
I don't think so. I think that's pretty much, you know, in the short amount of time, what we've been up to and what we have coming up. And yeah, I think there's a lot to work on. It sounds like I'm a busy person for you folks, so I guess I better get on it, you know. So,
yes.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to, you know, doing the raffle. We'll see what I come up with. There's always a lot of ideas floating around about, you know, what type of jewelry to make and whatnot. Yeah, I think it'll be fun. You know, different things going on, and hopefully, if you are at Pecos, you'll come by and say hi. You know, I know I haven't been in a while. Gosh, it's been a long time since I've been to Pecos. And so I'm hoping to make it this year, at least for a couple days. So yeah, hopefully we'll get to see some of you all there. And hopefully, yeah, you'll pick up a few t-shirts or whatnot. Regardless, you know, check out the podcast, and I look forward to doing some more work and bringing some interesting stories to you all out there. So stay tuned and, thanks for listening.
Yeah. And just to put a little teaser for the next episode, we were talking about recreation stuff and things like that at the beginning, and that may or may not. Oh, and also food. That may or may not be relevant to the next episode. So you'll just have to stay tuned and listen.
Cool.
So, all right. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. And thank you, Lyle, for coming on and chatting today.
Sure. Thank you.
And we'll see you soon.
Sounds good.
This network is listener supported. We're trying to move away from paid advertising while also creating new shows and supporting the ones we have. The APN has never and will never make a serious profit on our podcast. Every little dime we make goes back into the network and improving show quality. So become a member today at www.arcpodnet.com/members. To show your support, get some extras, and be a benefactor for archaeological education. Members get stickers, a coffee mug, a t-shirt, bonus content, early access to episodes, a private Slack team to talk to other members and the hosts, and full access to training on Team Black over at arccert.black. So check out our memberships at www.arcpodnet.com/members today and support archaeological education. That's www.arcpodnet.com/members. Now back to the show.
Hey everyone, this is Jessica checking back in as promised with the information about our nonprofit. So the website for the shirts, if you're interested in getting a shirt with Lyle's amazing logo on it, it is custominc.com/fundraising/livingheritage. So again, that's custominc.com/fundraising/livingheritage. And I just wanted to take a moment too, because this was an update episode and I didn't really give a lot of updates. So I wanted to give a little bit of background on why And I debated pretty heavily on this, and you can hear that in the recording itself, the original part, where you can see that I hesitate when talking about updates to me. And that's because this last 9 months has been really challenging for me. I was in a very serious, fatal car accident back in November, and I'm doing okay, and there was no one else in my car, but obviously it didn't end well. It was very tragic for the other car, so it's really shaken up things in my life, and so the focus of what I've been working on has really shifted. Obviously, I was still finishing the projects that I was working on, but then not really doing anything new, and other than working on this nonprofit and the podcast, because those were both things that I was really excited about still, even when I've been going through all of this for the past 9 months. So that's kind of why I hesitated and what's been happening with me. But things are definitely getting better and starting to have some exciting things coming up. One thing with a listener, it looks like, hopefully, potentially. So that would be really exciting. And just wanted to say thank you to everybody that was there for us for these past 9 months. Obviously, my husband, he was huge in all of this. And then just like the anthropology community and the Cortez community here really rallied around us. And, thank you to all of our friends who brought us food and whatever we needed. And then also to you listeners who didn't know it, but, you sent me emails about the podcast and how much you love it. And that really meant a lot to me, especially those first couple months. So thank you for, helping me through it unknowingly. And just thank you for listening. And thank you especially to our members. I've really enjoyed some of the one-on-one conversations I've had on the Slack channel, and really developing some really important relationships there. And that's meant a lot. And so if you aren't yet, please consider becoming an Archaeology Podcast Network member. Lots of bonuses and different things, but also it's just really nice to have that place to chat one-on-one with you guys and learn more about what you like about the shows and things like that. So that's really helpful. And also just drive safe, I'm not going to say anything more than that because I'll get emotional, but, take it seriously. So thank you for all of you for your support throughout this past year and a half. It's been an amazing journey, and I'm really excited about some of the things coming up, some of the episodes coming up. And the episode that we talked about, Lyle and I talked about earlier in this episode, may actually not be the next one. We have another one that came up that may go first that I'm really excited about. Don't want to give anything away. But yeah, there's the next three episodes, all really, really good. So stay tuned. And to finish out again, the website, if you are interested in supporting our nonprofit and helping us support the dreams of some of the tribes that we're working with and the cultural preservation that they'd like to see. The website again is custominc.com/fundraising/living heritage. So that's custominc.com/fundraising/living heritage. And then also get on our webpage, livingheritage.net. And there's a place it'll ask you to, if you're interested in joining our newsletter, and we'll send updates through that. And then also through our Facebook page at Living Heritage Research Council. So join us in either of those places to learn more about what Lyle and I and the others in the nonprofit are up to. And hopefully next time we do an update episode, I'll have more exciting things to share with all of you. and it'll be a better year. But just really appreciate all of you, and reach out if you are Indigenous and you're interested in being on the show, or just have other ideas you'd like to share with us. All right. Thank you, and I'll talk to you all later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Heritage Voices podcast. You can find show notes at www.archaeologypodcastnetwork.com/Heritage Voices. Please subscribe to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, or the Google Music Store. Also, if you like the show, please share with your friends or write us a review. If you have any questions, comments, or show suggestions, please reach out to me at jessica@livingheritageanthropology.org, or you can find me on Facebook through Living Heritage Anthropology, or on Twitter @LivingHeritageA. As always, thank you to Lyle Blanqua and Jason Nez for their collaboration on our incredible logo.
This show is produced by the Archaeology Podcast Network, Chris Webster and Tristan Boyle, in Reno, Nevada, at the Reno Collective.
This has been a presentation of the Archaeology Podcast Network. Visit us on the web for show notes and other podcasts at www.archpodnet.com. Contact us at chris@archaeologypodcastnetwork.com.
Thanks again for listening to this episode and for supporting the Archaeology Podcast Network. If you want these shows to keep going, consider becoming a member for just $7.99 US dollars a month. That's cheaper than a venti quad eggnog latte. Go to archpodnet.com/members for more info.